Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It's finally here, Friday on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. And being Free for All Friday, I get to talk about whatever I darn well want to talk about. And I do apologize. My voice was a little froggy over these past few days, you might have noticed. So just do pray that my throat heals up a little bit so that I can have a pleasant, effervescent speaking voice for you to be able to share our faith, teach you how to explain and defend it. I really hope you've enjoyed the episodes this week. Remember, next week I'm going to be off. I'm taking a much deserved vacation. I should have taken time off over Christmas break, and I did to some extent, but when a book is due, I just can't keep my eyes off of it for very long. So I'm excited for some time to recharge and then come back to the podcast, come back to writing refreshed, ready to bring on a lot of new programs and, you know, new books that I'll be writing. And I have in the works right now, something I'm working on for the podcast would be a Bible study for premium members. So what I'd like to do, probably starting the week that I get back, is doing very short audio segments, maybe video, we will see, for our premium subscribers to just go through different parts of the Bible and just give you commentary and answer objections and questions that people have about different parts of the Bible. So maybe just some short Bible study clips be available after I get back. So that'd probably be the week of February 26th here at the end of the month. And that, of course, is available at trenthornpodcast.com if you'd like to learn more about that. And, of course, your support at Trenthorn Podcast is what makes the podcast possible. So I'm always grateful for that. Even $5 a month gives you access to bonus content like the upcoming Bible study I plan to do here at the end of the month. $10 a month, you get a fancy t-shirt with my mug on it. And at higher levels, you can submit questions that I will answer on the podcast. So I was thinking about what should I do for Free for All Friday? What would be fun to talk about? And I figured next week is my kind of vacation week, spending time with the family. My beautiful wife, my better half, the one and only Mrs. Laura Horn, is letting me have a fun day off to myself. I'm just going to go to Disneyland by myself. I know that I made fun of people who do that before on the previous Disneyland podcast, which, of course, I'm revisiting. If you want to listen to that, it's called Beating the Lines at Disneyland. That was my first podcast on the subject back on September 21st, 2018. But I'm going to go by myself. I want to put my tips to the test, my methods to the test next week, one of the days during the week. I'm just going to drive up there by myself. And my goal is going to be to try to go on as many rides and attractions as I can in one single operating day. And I'm hoping to chronicle it for you on my phone, take little videos. I even got a fancy new mini cell phone charger, one of the many tips I'm going to share with you later if you are going to be visiting Disneyland. So I'm going to do that, and hopefully we'll have a little video or an audio report from that to let you know just how it went and see if my tips and strategies really do pay off. So I thought what would be fun for this podcast, Free for All Friday, and of course, as I mentioned on the previous Disneyland episode, this may not be your forte. You might have no interest in Disneyland. I know I had one subscriber to the podcast say, I listen to every single episode you do, Trent, except the one on Disneyland. I have no interest in that. And that is okay. I'm totally okay with that. When you have a daily podcast, you're going to have topics people are interested in and topics that they're not interested in. That's quite all right. So today, for those of you who are interested, because this is something that I, you know, have an interest in, even from a very nerdy perspective. Excuse me. Yeah. So pray my, I feel this like timber, this rattle in the back of my throat, hoping it gets better here over the next few days. So St. Blaise, pray for us, patron saint of throats. We just had the blessing of St. Blaise, actually. I think it was last weekend, actually, at our parish that we had that. So what I want to do is revisit the concept of hacking Disneyland to make your trip better, more feasible, more enjoyable. And these tips you can apply to almost any other theme park, but most of them are unique to Disneyland itself. So if you're planning to go on vacation, you know someone's going on vacation, I think this podcast would be very helpful for you. So let me just summarize the key points I made in my last episode on this subject. One, you got to plan. You got to have a plan. Know what you want to see. Know what you want to do. Look up the Disneyland website or the Disneyland app. Look at the rides, the attractions and shows, and figure out for you and your family, if you're young people, if you have small children, you know, if you have children ages 2 to 4 versus ages 9 to 10, the things you're going to want to do are going to be very different. So you want to plan accordingly and know, okay, what is it that I or we really want to do? Then when you go, get there early, get there early, get there early. As I said in the previous podcast, be there ticket in hand, not buying the tickets, but ticket in hand a half hour before the park opens, because usually they actually open the turnstiles at Disneyland or Disneyland California Adventure, and you can go in a half hour early. You can't go on any of the rides. You can just be in Main Street or Buena Vista Street, and then they drop a rope, and you can then go on from there to go to different things. So you want to get there early. You want to use the FastPass system. I'm just going to briefly mention FastPass. You want to know more about that, listen to the previous show. But FastPass is a virtual queue. It allows you to get a ticket for a popular ride like Space Mountain. You get a ticket and it tells you come back in 30 minutes or an hour and a half or 5 hours, depending on how popular the ride is. And that when you come back with the FastPass ticket, you don't have to wait in line. That ticket holds your spot in line. So work the FastPass system. A better full explanation of that you can find in the Beating Disneyland Line podcast I did on September 21st. So what I wanted to do, since I've been going frequently now with my family, it's actually really fun on weeks when I travel. I've mentioned this before. When I'm out of town, when I come back the next week, I take a day off during the week and I go and take my wife and my kids up there. We have the Southern California annual passes, which are the cheapest ones you can get. They don't work on weekends. They don't work in summer. But for us, we can go during the week because I often have to work weekends and I can take a Wednesday off and take my kids up there. So it's been a lot of fun. And since I've been going now, I think we've been there 3 or 4 times. New tips and hacks and strategies have emerged as we've been going and taking our children that I thought you would enjoy hearing about that I will share with you that I did not mention on the previous show. In fact, I'm even thinking, Laura says, you know, you need a hobby. I like writing. I might just write about this at night and make my little ebook, Hacking Disneyland. There's lots of books like that, but I think I can make a really good one. So if it ever comes out, I'll let you know. I might even just make it a free ebook just to, you know, edify people and keep them from having a miserable time at the happiest place on earth. All right. So here are the tips I didn't mention last time and others that I want to elaborate on. First, you will do a ton of walking. If you go to Disneyland, it is deceptive how much walking you will do. When I went with Laura and the kids a week ago, she put on her pedometer. I think we clocked 21,000 steps and we were only there for half the day. We were only there with our kids from the morning until 1 or 2 p.m. So if you're there for an entire day, I mean, you might be logging in 30,000, 40,000 steps. It is entirely possible you could walk 15 miles, 20 miles in a single day at Disneyland if you're really pushing it. Like, I mean, you're approaching marathon levels here of walking and being in line. So you want comfortable shoes that are broken in. Get your tennis shoes out. This is not the time to walk around in flip-flops or walk around in shoes to try to impress people. You want function over form, as comfortable shoes as you can. I want to talk also about a hacking myth that people often have. They say, oh, well, if you want to have a great time at Disneyland, you should go on Super Bowl Sunday. You should go on Thanksgiving Day. You should go on Christmas Day because nobody's going to be there. Here's the thing. If you think nobody's going to be there on that particular holiday or special event, odds are everyone else has that same idea and they're going to be there as well. You can go to the website isitcrowded.com and you can look at Disneyland, and I think other amusement parks as well. But at least for Disneyland, you can see crowd projections, how crowded it's going to be. But a general rule of thumb, weekdays are going to be less crowded than weekends. During the school year is going to be less crowded than summer. Your busiest times are going to be the busiest times are when people don't have to go to school or work. So it's going to be holidays, Saturday, Sundays, and summer. So my advice is try to avoid that time whenever you can. But if you have to go during that time, the tips that I gave in the previous podcast and in this podcast will be helpful. There's another debate that sometimes people have about going to Disneyland. And that's, well, what if you just choose to go when it rains? If it rains, there's not going to be a lot of people there. And I actually, when I did my show with Timory, I shared that the show on toxic masculinity a month ago, back at the beginning of January, I went to Disneyland because I was up in Orange County anyways. And Timory records her show like at the cathedral, Christ Cathedral in Orange County. And it's literally 10 minutes away from Disneyland. So I just went there. I had my annual pass. You know, I decided to go just for a little bit for 4 hours and it was raining. And I will say, yes, it was much less crowded than it normally is. I did notice that. So you do have lower crowds. You still have people. It's never dead at Disneyland or Disney California Adventure. There's always going to be at least like 10,000 people there. So there's always going to be lines. Because here's the thing also, if there's less people there, there can still be lines for attractions because the attractions just run at lower capacity. When the park realizes there's only going to be, you know, on a heavy day, there's going to be at Disneyland, 70,000, 80,000 people. On a light day, 10 or 20,000. So on a light day, some of the rides, they'll only run, you know, a half the number of ride vehicles, for example. So the problem is, even if there's less people, if the rides are running at lower capacity, you still might have to wait in line. So it's like, well, okay. So the rain did drive out some people, but honestly, it was uncomfortable. By the end of the day, my shoes were absolutely soaked. I had an umbrella. I saw people in ponchos. I prefer an umbrella. There's a lot to do at Disneyland that's not in the rain, and some of the thrill rides outside are fun to do when it's raining, like Big Thunder Mountain. I was shrieking like a little kid when the rain's hitting you. So I enjoyed that. But also, many of the rides broke down, outdoor rides. I noticed a lot more breakdowns in rides on a rainy day. And so that's not fun when rides break down. So overall, I would say avoid the rain. If you're on vacation and it's raining, don't let that discourage you. You can still have a great time. Just make sure you have a place to retreat to go and get dry clothes every few hours. So that's my thought on the rain. All right. Some more tips to help you to get through your trip to Disneyland to make it good and easy and fun, honestly. Tip number one. Download the Disneyland app. It is a free app. You do not want to be downloading this when you get into the park. I've been there with people who are trying to download it and you're wasting time. Before you arrive at the park, download the Disneyland app, fill it out, register, and sign up for a Disneyland account and put in your credit card information. So I'm not making a pitch here to try. I'm not working for Disney to get you to buy this stuff. But for me, when I go and take people, it's the most. I use this app constantly when I'm at Disneyland for various reasons. First, one great thing about the Disneyland app is you can do mobile ordering. This has been a game changer for us when I take Laura and the kids to Disneyland. So mobile ordering lets you just scroll through on your phone. It's not every restaurant, but many of the restaurants at Disneyland that are counter service. Counter service, you go up to a register and you order, you know, something like a Rubio's, you know, you go up, order at the register, then you go and get your food and eat at a table. You can order that food through the mobile ordering app. It has your credit card info. So you just click it. You say, I want to order this. You pay for it. And then you select when you want to pick it up. You can pick it up in, you know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, or you could schedule it for a few hours later. You schedule it and then you click on there. You say, I'm here, make my food. And then they get the food ready. So if you time it right, like when I go and take the kids to eat, I'm ordering the food when I'm about, 15 minutes away from when we want to eat. And then, you know, or whenever. But I click ready to eat when I'm about 5 to 10 minutes away from the restaurant. So then when you get there, instead of at noon waiting in a line for 20 minutes to order food and people are breaking down, you just walk up to the mobile order menu window. It says mobile order as a picture of a phone. So you get to the restaurant with your hungry kids, and then you don't have to wait in line for food. You just walk up, you pick up the food, and you go and sit down. Game changer. Places that I've enjoyed eating this, Stage Door Cafe. You can get the greatest corn dog in the world at Disneyland, Stage Door Cafe, because they give you fries there too with it. Other places, they just give you apple slices, which are good. Oh my goodness, I forgot to turn my phone off. Normally I have that on Do Not Disturb forever. So I'll try to get to that staff meeting here relatively soon. Oops, don't tell anyone. But hey, I'm here to serve you. I'm sure somebody will fill me in if I miss any of that. All right. Other great restaurants, Bengal Barbecue, awesome. Skewers. I've talked about Cafe Orleans last time. Jolly Holiday Bakery has actually some light and fluffy salads. So you can, you know, you don't have to give heavy theme park food all the time. Rancho del Zocalo in Frontierland has actually really good Mexican food. So there are a few places, and I mentioned Flo's V8 Cafe before in Disney California Adventure. There are a few restaurants where they actually have decent food. I also like the Tangaroa Terrace at the Disneyland Hotel. But using mobile ordering saves you when you for lunch and for meals, you don't have to wait in line. Because lines aren't just for rides. There's lines for bathrooms. Usually not, though. There's a lot of bathrooms at Disneyland. But the line for food can kill you if you're already hangry and you don't want to wait that long. You don't have to. You can use the mobile ordering on the Disneyland app. Also, the Disneyland app lets you check wait times. You can bring up the app and you can see when, how long certain rides are. So that way, if you know, oh, I want to ride this, but the app says it's a half hour, never mind. I don't want to get, you don't want to get all the way across the park for a ride just to see the line is too long. You don't want to ride it. That's a waste of time. So use the Disneyland app to check wait times. Finally, and this is worth paying, it's an extra $10 per ticket if you, and $70 on an annual pass, but it's called Max Pass. It's the Fast Pass system, but you can get those Fast Pass tickets, those tickets that allow you to come back to a ride and ride it through the short line later in the day. You can get a Fast Pass through your phone on Max Pass. It is a game changer. It is worth every penny. Because then when you're out and you're eating or you're on a ride with your family, you just bring up your phone, you link all of your tickets together on the phone, on the app, and then you just select the Fast Passes through the Max Pass, and you're set. You don't have to run all over the park trying to get these Fast Pass tickets. That's what I used to do. So I think it's great. So getting the Disneyland app on your phone, having it registered, credit card info in before you get into the park, it's a great tool to use, and you can practice using it before you get in the park, which reminds me, you're going to use your cell phone a lot. You're going to take pictures with your phone. You're going to use the app. You might be calling people. Your battery can get drained, and here's the thing. There are no chargers in the Disneyland parks. There are no outlets where you can plug in. Believe me, I've tried. I've seen outlets. I've plugged my phone into them. They don't work. I had to, for an emergency, because I had to get my phone working for, well, I can't get into that. I had to get my phone working. And so I went to the Disneyland Grand Californian Hotel and found an outlet there that worked, thankfully, but because I had to take a very important phone call while I was at Disneyland. Once again, a story for another time. Now they sell these fuel rod rechargers at Disneyland. These are little small cylinders you can plug into your cell phone, portable chargers, but they cost $35. Now, it's a one-time purchase, but to get a new one, you have to swap it out in these machines. Rather, go online and you can get a portable cell phone charger, and they range anywhere from $12 to $20, and it's yours, and you can just keep it. So go online. If you're going to use your phone all day at the park, you might, and you don't have a hotel room to go back to recharge your phone, you get these little portable cell phone chargers. You know, they're about the size of a tube of lipstick, and they can recharge your phone. And they're great just if you're out and about anyways, and you don't want to lose power on your phone. Another tip I recommend to keep lines short, single rider. This is amazing. I have not done this in a while, but when I went, took Laura and the kids to Disneyland, you know, this was back my little Matthew guy, before he was tall enough to ride these rides. And now I have my little teary moment. So the other time we went, we took Matt to Radiator Springs Racers, and I thought he was barely tall enough, and they measured him, and he was like half an inch too short. Like, they let him on at Star Tours, but they wouldn't let him on Radiator Springs Racers. And as we're walking away, he says, "Daddy, I'm sorry I forgot to grow." Oh, I said, "No, you don't have to be sorry. You're doing a great job today." And those kids are troopers, by the way, at Disneyland. I'm going to get to tips for toddlers here in a second. You have nothing to be sorry about. So then we went back a week or two ago. And we went to Radiator Springs Racers, and he stood up there, and it's a 40-inch height requirement. And he stood, and his head clearly touched the bottom of the indicator. They measured him, but there was no question he was tall enough. And as we walk in there, I took him. Laura waited with Thomas, his 2-year-old younger brother. And I walk. I said, "You grew," and then like I got all teary because he grew like an inch in a month, and I just could not even. I could not even do it. So, before either of them could ride, or sometimes though for like a bigger ride, like even if your kid's tall enough to ride a ride, he may not be emotionally ready to handle it. I've taken Matt on some pretty scary rides he's tall enough for, and I said, "Did you like that?" He just kind of nodded his head but didn't say anything. So what you can do in those situations, you can do single rider and rider swap. Okay, so single rider, or even let's say you're going with a group of adult friends to Disneyland, you're young people like I used to do going out. Some of the rides, Space Mountain, Radiator Springs Racers, Splash Mountain, you can look them up online at the Disneyland website. They're single rider rides. That means you can go to a cast member, or that's the term for a Disneyland employee, and say, "Can I do single rider?" They don't always do it for these rides, but when they do, they usher you through the exit, they take you up to the front of the line, and they put you in a separate queue, because many times on Disney ride vehicles, one or two of the seats are going to be open. Let's say you know, Radiator Springs Racers has each car holds six people. And let's say you have a party of five people or four people. You put four people in there. Maybe two people will go in and fill in with you. But if you have five people, you have an empty seat. So what they do is they pluck someone from the single rider line to fill that seat. So on many of these rides, this is great also. You don't have to waste a fast pass on these rides. You do single rider. I did it at Indiana Jones. The normal standby wait time was 60 minutes, an hour. I got through it in about 10 minutes with single rider. So look up single rider. Honestly, if you have a group and you all go single rider, you will be split up. Sometimes you're not. Sometimes you do get to be together. It's rare, but it happens. But you know what? I would rather just us all go one after each other than wait an hour to ride together, because you all get to go on anyways, and it saves you so much time. Now, this is also helpful. So I would let Laura go on Space Mountain single rider, and I'd watch the kids. And then she comes back. But here's what you can do. If you go up as a whole family and you show you have a child who's too short to ride, you can ask for a rider swap. So if, let's say, Laura takes Matt on Space Mountain, you know, they go on with Fast Pass or whatever, and I stand back and I hold Thomas. We all are present there. They'll give us a rider swap. So when they come back, I can go on the ride now. Laura took Matt. Now I can go and take Matt with me while Laura watches Thomas. So rider swap only works if you go up to the Fast Pass people at the ride and you show them, every member of the party has to be there, and you got to show them the baby you're watching as to why you need to be able to swap out. If the baby's not there, they won't do it, because people lie. They lie to try to get these rider swap passes because they're very valuable. So, also, if your kid is too short to ride, sometimes as a compensation, if, you know, he just barely didn't make it, they'll give you a fast pass to come back and use indefinitely when he is tall enough. So keep that in mind. So single rider. Also, remember, as I said, you're walking a lot. You're going to do 15 or 20 miles a day. Bring bottles of water and refill them. You can go almost to any window counter service restaurant, ask for a cup of water. Even if you're not thirsty, do it every hour or two, because it's going to keep you from getting cranky and from getting tired and getting worn down. You got to stay ahead of your body. When you start getting sunburned, bring sunscreen. Don't forget that. You know, when you start feeling thirsty, hungry, or tired or sunburned, once you feel it, you're already in trouble. You want to head those off at the pass by applying sunscreen, eating before you're hungry, drinking before you're thirsty, and resting before you get super tired. All right, next section, toddler tactics. You know, I've got a lot more research here. I haven't taken the toddlers a few times. Here are some thoughts to help, especially with the youngest of kids. That can be the hardest to take to a theme park. First, save their feet. Use a stroller. You can rent strollers at Disneyland, but I recommend using a private company in Anaheim that if you're at a hotel, you can rent a jogger stroller like the Bob's. They've got big inflated tires, makes it easy to push, easy on you. You might say, well, my kid can walk, even if he's 4 or 5, even 7 or 8. Honestly, a stroller helps because they get tired easily, and you want to save their feet and let them hop in a stroller. You don't want to be carrying them around all day. I have done that. it gives you a great workout. I mean, my biceps, by the end of the day at Disneyland, I feel like I went to the gym, like when you're carrying around the little toddler sack of potatoes. But a stroller will save their feet, and it will save your arms and your willpower. Bring lots of snacks and meals. Remember, even if they're in the stroller, they're walking, they're doing stuff, they're burning calories. I mean, if you and I walk the equivalent of 15 miles a day at Disneyland, a 4 or 5-year-old, that's like them doing 30 miles with their little stride. So bring lots of snacks and meals. You can bring food into the park. You can store it if you want to store extra clothes or food, get a locker. The small ones, they're from $7 to $10. Use it for the whole day. They're great. In and out, you can use it the whole day. Lockers are excellent. There's lockers right outside the Disneyland main gate. There's ones inside on Main Street and some inside Disney California Adventure. So bring meals. And honestly, when you eat lunch, especially if you have little kids, a lot of the Disney kids meals are, I mean, they're fine. But I mean, it's $9 for chicken nuggets. You can bring your own food to supplement, but there's still some good meals in there on the mobile ordering app. You can look at the restaurant and see what they offer before you even get there and plan where you're going to eat and what you're going to get the kids. But bring err on the side of bringing extra food, because they will devour that stuff. Also, kids are toddlers have a hard time with change of plan. It's hard. And if you have toddlers, you know this. You say you're going to do something, but you make a change. Kids have a hard time when plans change. So it's okay to use a mental reservation like, oh, it's, you know, this ride's not open for us right now, in the sense that we're not able to go on it because the line is too long, or it's broke down. It's not open. But try to just encourage them. And, you know, and also, you know, be flexible to what they want to say, all right, we're going to do this ride after this ride that mommy likes. And if you are patient, then I can give you this snack afterwards. If you're not patient, if you whine, that tells me that you don't want this snack, or that tells me you don't want to go on this ride. And punishments don't flip out like I did. I've flipped out before. Punishment can just be, hey, if you whine or scream like that, that tells me you have to wait 5 minutes before you can go on this next ride. I mean, even making a kid be punished with a 5 minute wait can feel like an eternity. So just try to go with the flow if, you know, things change up in your day. To get a break, especially if you have a little baby with you or a toddler who is still in diapers, ask a cast member to show you the baby care center. These are amazing. There's one at the end of Main Street, and there's another by Radiator Springs in Disney California Adventure. These are awesome. You can buy diapers. You can have a private area to nurse your baby or bottle feed them. A place where you can wash bottles and change a child. Baby care centers, awesome if you have babies or toddlers. Also, watch out for the scary rides. There are some rides, they're old school 1960s. We didn't understand child psychology rides. Like Snow White's Scary Adventures, I still get freaked out on that ride. So there are a few, Snow White and Pinocchio and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, they can kind of be a much for toddlers. So keep that in mind. Look at reviews online for the rides before you choose what you want to take your little kids on. I'll get a second to rides that are great for kids. I'll talk about that now, actually. Some rides that are really great for kids are also rides that are very good when the park is busy. Like if you're at the park and it's lunchtime or afternoon and you don't have anywhere to go, you don't have a hotel to go back to, you can't retreat or escape anywhere. One thing you can do is to just do rides that are usually don't have a line and are fun in the middle of the day. Here's a few that I like. The Mark Twain Riverboat on the Rivers of America in Frontierland hardly ever has a line. It's shaded inside. You get to see the Rivers of America. It's calm, easy, and like I said, usually doesn't have a long line because the boat can hold 300 people. The Enchanted Tiki Room in Adventureland is great for toddlers, and that's air-conditioned and indoors, great for an afternoon, hardly a line. Same for Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. If your kids want to be rowdier and it's the afternoon, they want to get that energy out, and you don't want to get them in line, the Tarzan Treehouse, which used to be the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse, which I liked it better when it was that, it's a nice treehouse. They can climb up and go down, and there's no wait. Same for Pirate's Lair, which used to be called Tom Sawyer Island. People always miss this. It's that island you see by the Haunted Mansion that's in the Rivers of America. You take a little raft to get over there. Toddlers love that place. Little, even like 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids, I loved it as a 9-year-old. You run around this little island. There's little forts to hang out in and pontoon bridges. It's great. And finally, a great ride if you're tired and you don't want to wait in line and you just want to kill time in the afternoon, the Disneyland Railroad takes you on a loop around the park. They've added some new features. When I was a little boy, I loved the Grand Canyon Primeval World Diorama in the Disneyland Railroad. They got the dinosaurs and the dramatic music. And when I was a kid, I just loved that stuff. Now, that was back when the narrator of the Disneyland Railroad was, I forget his name, he's the guy who voiced Tony the Tiger. That might have been Ravenscroft, Ravenscroft. I'm going to get this right. Tony the Tiger's voice was... Thurl Ravenscroft. That's it, because he did Tony the Tiger, and he does a voice in the Haunted Mansion, and he was the narrator, and they've changed it now. It's not as good, but it's still very good. I highly recommend that. All right. Well, those are my tips. Some more hacks and help if you take your children to theme park, especially to Disneyland, just for leisure. And I offer you this because, hey, God commanded us to rest one day of the week. Rest is a good thing for us. Taking your kids to have fun, it's a good thing to do, to bond as a family, to strengthen your family, your domestic church. Any way you want to do it is great. I'm just here to give you tips to help you do that. And I hope that's been helpful for you. And say a prayer for me. I'll put these tips to the test and see if they really work next week as I spend a week reconnecting with my family and reconnecting with the Lord. I hope that you grow in all of your connections as well. So thank you so much for this week, and I hope you have a blessed weekend.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.